What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast.
JBT is the senior betting analyst in the NBA here at the network as well. So as long as you're here, we'll get into some futures and find out if anything sticks out to you today. Paulie was on the air weeks ago saying time to buy the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the division at plus $8 is what he did. They were recently as high as minus 360 in that range to win it. Now with a couple of losses after the All-Star break, Bucks playing a little bit better basketball here. Cavs are now back to minus 135. Bucks are plus 115. It is a grueling schedule coming up for the Bucks over the next 2 to 3 weeks. You want to take a little bit of plus money while it's there on them?
I mean, not entirely, because you got a couple of good wins when you're coming out, right? Which is obviously you like to see that, especially a win like they did against Minnesota.
Sure.
Really, really strong for them. And then you take care of business against the bad Philadelphia 76ers team. But you mentioned the schedule. Positive Residual has it as the fourth hardest strength of schedule in the NBA. And cool thing about Positive Residual, it's not just your opponent's record. It factors in a lot of stuff. Factors in travel, altitude, all these different things. So you have one of the hardest schedules. In terms of rest advantages, you're at a net loss in terms of minus one. You got two games which you'll have an advantage. You got three games which you'll be at a disadvantage. And an even split in terms of home and road games for Milwaukee. So I think that's going to be part of the problem is the schedule for them really beefs up here. As far as Cleveland is concerned, by strength of schedule, they're much lower. They're about 14th, 15th when it comes to their remaining strength of schedule. They have to give away two games on the road, so they're 12 to 14, but it's a lot easier for them as you're looking at it. And for back-to-backs as well, both teams relatively even. So I think the way this plays out is I'd still roll with Cleveland to get this two seed. The losses, too, I don't think you're overtly concerned. Donovan Mitchell missed the first couple of games with illness right before or right when they came out of the break. So it's not like they're starting to slide. It's just that they weren't at full strength. I'd still be looking for Cleveland to win this thing in terms of that race for the two seed in the division.
Okay. Any division bet that actually sticks out to you maybe a little bit? The Magic have the easiest schedule in the NBA moving forward. They are plus 190. The problem with that is you look at Miami, they have the second easiest schedule in the NBA for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think that you're probably like here's the thing. I think you're making the case for Orlando only because while Miami has an easy schedule, they have not been consistent in terms of availability, right? Like, you know, Jimmy Butler has been injured. He has missed time because of a personal issue. Then, of course, we have this suspension. The same thing can be said for Tyler Hero and Terry Rozier and all of these guys. Are we banking on the fact that Miami is going to have these guys consistently available throughout the entirety of the rest of this season? And I think that's kind of the trick that you're playing here, because of these two teams, Orlando went through a stretch in the first half where they had some injuries that they dealt with. But for the most part, their guys have been consistently available. And there's been a very strong consistency with them on the defensive end. And with a schedule that I think is manageable, I feel like I would trust Orlando a little bit more and at the very least have a better shot at winning this thing than what the market would say at this point right now. Also, the big thing with Orlando in terms of strength of schedule and whatnot, they have 15 home games to 9 road games.
Okay.
So they play really well at home. They barely travel at all. By Positive Residual, the easiest schedule left. I mean, they have a cool thing too where they map it out. See, like you see their travel. Like they're just on the East Coast the rest of the way. They don't have any West Coast trips left. It's a schedule that really does work for the Orlando Magic, where I think I'd be probably riding with Orlando in that.
So let me bring up Atlanta. They have the 13th hardest schedule remaining. Probably not as much as me. They are 7 games out. Can I say the good news here is that Trae Young is out for another month?
Yeah.
Is this one of those things where this could be addition by subtraction? The team galvanizes around the loss of Trae Young. They actually get it together, play over their heads, and they go on. It's 500-1 to win the division, but they're 7 games out.
Right. I don't know about winning the division. And I want to be clear, too. Like, it's not that I think that Trae Young is the problem with Atlanta, because he's having a really, really good season. The thing with Atlanta is just, I don't think Trae Young and DeJounte Murray work together. And you see it in terms of the splits when guys are on court, off court. With Trae Young off the floor, they have a positive net rating at plus 0.9. Their most used lineup without Trae Young on the floor has a net rating of plus 12.4. Wow. They outscore opponents by 12.4 every 100 possessions, or 12.4 points every 100 possessions. When you have DeJounte Murray on the court and Trae Young off the court, they still average 121.6 points per 100 possessions, and they're still a positive team. So that's kind of the problem, is just these two guys split up have been much more effective without the other, because I think that's just the way it works. So as we kind of move forward, like we were talking about today against Utah, and by the way, it's the same thing on the inverse. Trae Young on the floor without DeJounte Murray, positive net rating, most used lineup, plus 14.5 net rating. It's just that they don't work. So I think that this is a team that when there is, like, these next 4 weeks without Trae Young, there's a case to be made that this team is worth playing on, because they just flow better with a singular point guard on the floor, which is why, again, here against Utah, I mentioned that, like, I'm kind of playing against Utah here down this stretch, because I think that the market hasn't really accounted for Simone Fontecchio, Kelly Olynyk, Oshai Agbaji all being gone. Those are guys who play 20-plus minutes a game, have positive impacts on this team. You're only laying, like, 2 today here at home with Atlanta. But I think this team's just better because Trae Young and DeJounte Murray are split up, not necessarily because Trae Young specifically is
off the floor. Totally agree with that. And I think it's a short number tonight as well with the Hawks. Now, I'm 0-for. The reason why I don't like this team is because I have not cashed a bet either on nor against the Hawks this entire year.
You have my favorite text that I've gotten during the NBA season. I think it was the Rockets. Was it the Rockets-Hawks
yes,
game?
Yes.
And you were like, this team stinks, and all of a sudden they paint the Hawks come in and they paint a Picasso against them.
They couldn't miss in the first quarter in the first half of that game.
I was on Atlanta too in that game, yeah.
Okay, so I'm looking right now at the VSiN NBA Player Prop Analyzer, yeah, which is a great tool, and I would recommend, if you like playing player props, you got to look at it every single day. It's very easy to find on the website as
Real
well.
Real quick, I just want to say, I think it's the most underrated thing that we have that we don't advertise enough on the website, the Player Prop Analyzer. It's great.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay, so I clicked on the results versus the current DraftKings prop for DeJounte Murray, right? Because now with no Trae Young, in his first game last time out, he had 11 assists. Well, that number now is 8.5 tonight, and it's minus 145 to the over. I would say don't fool yourselves here, because when you click on the results versus the current number, he's 45-9 to the under, 11.5 assists on, or I'm sorry, 8.5 assists on the year. But that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Because Trae Young was there for the full season, and now when he was not there, he had 11 in the first game, and you expect this guy now, he's going to probably revert back to the guy that we had in the Spurs for absolutely so long, when he was like a borderline triple-double every single game.
Yes, absolutely. And like, the usage rate's just going to go up. The ball's going to be his hands. Like, that's just what you're going to expect here when it comes to DeJounte Murray now that he's not going to be out there. For example, 31.2% was his usage rate in the first game without Trae Young. Like, just this last one for the season, it's at 26%. Like, that's a really big spike with the ball in your hands and being the facilitator. And we remember, DeJounte Murray, when he was with San Antonio, he was like that triple-double-ish point guard, because
yes,
he could rebound effectively. He's a little overvalued as a defender in terms of narrative, but he's still a solid defender. But he's a good passer, too. Like, no, I think absolutely. It's a very great look there.
Let me give you three other guys tonight with their current DraftKings assist prop number. Jeremy Sochan. Spurs?
Sohan, I guess.
Sohan, yes, yeah. He said. Okay, that's what I thought. It's 2.5. The over is plus 124. He's 40-17 over 2.5 assists on the year.
Yeah, I'd be careful with that, because remember, for a while, they started him at point guard.
Oh.
And they shifted that up a little bit. So I think that's maybe why the assist numbers would be a little out of whack. But, I mean, still, he's an awesome glue guy. Like, the ball doesn't stop with him. It's a mover. He's going to pass it to an open guy. I wouldn't hate it at all, especially when you talk about the potential pace of this game that we could be playing here today.
Josh Giddey, Oklahoma City, it's 3.5. Over is plus 105. He's 39-17 over 3.5 assists on the year.
That's going to be interesting, because as we talked about with Oklahoma City, we're starting to see the leash kind of tighten on Giddey. You know, because now, like, when teams start to stymie up and muck that offense up, then you're talking about, all right, well, let's get them off the floor. Let's space this out a little bit. Having said that, I think you're doing it in situations or playing against that in certain situations, like against better teams.
Sure.
That are going to be able to muck this thing up. Houston's not going to be able to do that against Oklahoma City, I think. Yeah.
Another one would be Derek White. His assist prop tonight is 3.5 over his minus 150 at DraftKings. He's 38-15 yeah. over 3.5 assists on the year.
I think that's one worth looking, especially as somebody who thinks like Boston's going to be the side tonight. You know, Boston quietly has moved to number one in offensive efficiency. Like, they're incredible on both ends. But ball moves around, doesn't stick with him either. He'll take open shots, but for the most part, he'll find the next guy. I think that's definitely worth looking at, especially if they're going to cover this number like I think they are. A lot of points to go around.
You want to make the case this morning for anybody to win an award in the NBA?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sixth man.
Let's do it. Ready?
Any idea who's going to win sixth man?
I've got Norm Powell at 45-1 to win sixth man of the year. He is, what's incredible is, he does not have the points per game that these others do, right? But you know what he's got? He is an integral part to one of the most efficient lineups in the NBA, and he closes out games every night for the Los Angeles Clippers. He is in that lineup, out there hitting threes, defending at a high level. I think that when you look at it in terms of not only the stats and his impact on the floor, but also what he has done for a team that is competing for a top three seed in the Western Conference, I don't think there's any question when you look at it in comparison with Malik Monk, Tim Hardaway Jr. He is a difference maker for a team that could finish in the top three in the NBA. Norm Powell, sixth man of the year. Give it to him.
Is he bettable at plus 450?
I think so. Because I don't think that – I think what's the price on Hardaway right now? Or is it Malik Monk who's the odds on
favorite?
Malik
Monk is odds on.
Yeah, what is it again? A minus 115? Or is it higher now?
He is. Hold on, I just went away.
Because the problem is, I just don't think that anybody should be an odds-on favorite in this market.
He's minus 130.
Yeah, so like by extension, I think that there is value on Norm Powell because I just don't think that there's this gap between all three of these guys.
Hardaway also plus 450. Most yeah. improved, is this going to be Maxey at the end of the year? He's minus 240.
No, I don't think so. That's the one I really disagree with. I think you can make a case for a lot of these. Kobe White has been a 20-point-per-game scorer. He's been incredible. Kuminga and the turnaround that he's had for this Warriors team that has started to win some games has been an integral part to that. Maxey's been good, but I don't think you're talking about like this runaway favorite to win that award.
Yeah, I've been talking about this now for like a month, so I kind of wanted to hear somebody else's opinion on this.
I'll go back a couple years ago, just really quickly. The year Julius Randle won Most Improved, at one point, Jeremy Grant was minus 550 to win that award that year, and he did not win it. Yeah. So these odds are not predictive when it comes to awards like subjective things like Most Improved.
No, as Doug Kazarian called it with us a few weeks ago, he said these are fake markets.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yep.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.